Well, I would like to begin by just hearing a little bit from you guys, as I want to finish off some stuff that's been going on. What are some things that you've taken away from this class so far? Just speak as loud as you can about
it. I didn't know how to defend it, and now I'm learning.
And you know how to defend it. Good.
I'm sorry, I'm cold. My bag was in my Bible bag was in my car last night, so it broke.
I think if you sit right behind me. You know, Roberta,
I can feel it.
Well, the heat's right there, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess you'd be all right, yeah. So apparently Debbie's the only one that has learned anything over these last 2.5 months. It's cheap. Don't make me not point to you, okay?
Better points to give to someone who is an atheist or who believes they're an atheist.
For me, it gives me a template of what I should say and how to back that up. So when somebody comes at me and says, you know, I don't believe because, you know, God isn't good, he lets bad things happen, I can point out things, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, and I did that at work the other day because somebody was misinforming somebody else about God.
And shocking.
I know. And I was just like, well, no, the Bible actually says this, so if you go to this and read in Genesis,
yeah.
You know, and they're like, oh, she's like, well, I'm not really a God person. I'm like, no. I know. But I just talked to him for 15 minutes, and I had to get back to work because it's busy at the hospital. But I was just like, yeah, if you want something, you should study it. You shouldn't go and ask somebody who may or may not have
them
right.
Yeah, your great option would be if you have cancer, go to a veterinarian.
Yeah.
They'll be able to heal you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or, better yet, go to a doctor who's an expert in treating cancer.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? They would never do that, but they just don't think that way.
Yeah, the guy is loud and he's black and he's, like the Ethiopian version of the Bible or something. And
I didn't know they had that.
And I'm just like, okay, some of the things made sense that he said, but other things I'm like, no, it doesn't say that in the Bible. And he's like, well, in the Ethiopian version it does. I'm like, okay, well.
Is there a United States version of the Bible? Or
so I'm just like, well, there's a standard Bible that most people go by. I don't know what your Bible says, but.
You know how long the Washington State version of the Bible would be because of all the pronouns they'd have to add to it being he, they, them, her, it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the different pronouns. It would be just like all the genealogies. Oh my goodness, it would take up forever. But I digress. Just so you guys get this, follow my train of thought here. Why do people want to blame God? Why does this guy want to blame God for all the bad things that are happening in his life? It relates to exactly what we've been learning in this class. But why?
Because then they have to be accountable.
That's part of it, yep.
They don't want to take responsibility for their own actions.
Well, sometimes the bad things happen that are just not or was a direct result of anything he's done.
Right.
Why do they want that?
So they don't have to believe in for 3 years.
Well, yeah, they want to blame somebody, but what do you think, Matthew?
I think as Christians always tell the goodness of God, about he can heal you, he can do this, he can do all these great things, but then when bad things happen, Christians will send you like, oh yeah, he could have stopped it, but he chose not to. And I think non-believers look at that, why a normal human being would have stopped this if God has made their own image. Why God stopped this, not understanding that God is bigger for his glory and for his magnitude of like
sure.
People is.
Let's say you are one of the parents of one of the four slain students in Idaho. The obvious question, why does God allow these things? Okay.
God doesn't allow them, there's evil in the world.
I understand that, but from their perspective, again, what's it pointing back to? it's not so much that they're not trying, that they're trying to take responsibility if you were that parent, for example.
Yes.
There's a need for rationality. They want to understand. And that right then and there points to where did that need for rationality come from? It came from the mind. Can you get that answer? Can evolution give you that answer?
No.
No, it cannot.
Because basically those kids were hunted, right? And according to an atheist view, it's survival of the fittest, so...
Exactly. And if I'm an atheist minister, for example, I would say that it's just natural selection.
Yeah.
They're no different than the animals, and you have, you know, the young cub defeats the older lion and becomes the new... Yeah, but see, all those things go back to this, again, our personhood. Who else wants to share what they have learned in this class so far? It's good stuff that you're sharing. Louder, begin.
I took some time this week just to go through your outline and write questions and answer them and stuff. So that
good.
That was helpful.
Yeah. Very good. And really what this class is about is what, you know, we've been, what Clint mentioned. I'm just really giving you a template. You will modify it, but you still have to have that basic outline, a basic template upon which to form an argument. Because I'm not passing on to you anything that I haven't learned. I didn't create this stuff. I learned it, memorized it, and used it, which is why I'm up here with no notes, you know.
I have a question.
Yeah.
About that shooting in Colorado, how would you...
Colorado or Idaho?
Idaho. I saw another one in Colorado.
Okay.
There was a shooting in Colorado at a gay club.
Yeah.
One of my non-believing friends asked me, was that God's wrath and justice, or was... how would I define God's reaction to that? And I said, that's the crime was committed out of hate. God's mercy. God would hope those people would repent before the death, you know, but how would you answer that?
Well, what would you guys say? How would the Bible answer that question?
If God is good and God is love and God doesn't evil happen, but, you know, we have free will. God gives us free will. He doesn't want us to be slaves.
Right.
He doesn't want to direct us in, you know, you have to do this, 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 and not have any will. So he gives us free will, and some people choose evil. And that person that did that chose evil. And, you know, for me, being gay, that's just evil. Not being gay, it's wrong. But evil happened to those people. And it could have happened to somebody in a McDonald's. Somebody was intent to have evil in their heart.
First thing I would say that the reason why a person would ask that question is that they are under, they may not recognize it, but they instinctively are basically knowing at the very core of their nature that what they're doing is wrong, that this sin is wrong, and there's a level of conviction. They will not apply that to other areas of their life that are still wrong, or other areas of life, such as the, I'll just use, let's say, Antifa, destroying and killing people under those riots. That was still wrong. It's still a sin. Sin is sin. Stealing is a sin, and lying forms, just when you exaggerate, is a form of lying, and it's a sin. Does God judge homosexuality? Can you give me any examples in the Bible of where he judged homosexuality?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right, any other example?
It's Exodus, when he's writing the law.
Well, I'm talking about an actual judgment, because this is what your friend said, that God was judging her.
He was asking if they were...
Yeah.
It was a judgment, but I don't think that was specifically...
That was all sin. That was all evil. So I can think of only one example, and that was Sodom and Gomorrah. The only other example I can think of is in Romans 1. The wrath of God falls on all kinds of evil, but it also specifically lists what else? It's also a judgment on just the sexual revolution, sex outside of marriage, and what he will judge, pedophilia, bestiality, all stuff is mentioned, but included within all of that, including homosexuality. It's just that it's they are so aggressively pushing this agenda that all, in just in case you haven't thought this through, I thought this way because I was so simple in my thinking and my eyes were open. There are conservative gay people that do not like the LGBTQ plus agenda and do not agree with it, okay? So it's just an agenda that they're trying to force on people, so it becomes more of an issue. And then what they're doing with, I know a lot of people, I've read a lot of LGBTQ people that are, I don't take out the T, that don't like the T, and the pushiness on kids. I have my brother's daughter, his wife's mother, they got divorced. She's a lesbian. That was a strain of that in that family. It went to my brother's daughter. And she's just, my parents died. We were in contact with her. I hadn't seen her in a long time. Her name's Alicia. And she just said, listen, hey, I'm attracted to women. She says, but do I agree with the grooming and all this stuff? And she says, absolutely not. I mean, it's disgusting. And so it's a complicated issue, but it's just judged that one time in a very graphic way, and that was judged for a reason, as a lesson to be remembered. Okay. He does not say that the hottest places of hell are reserved for who? You already know who's there right now. Do you remember? Thank you. Say it again. I love it when I have to give the answer. What was the answer?
Fallen angels.
We went over this. What did those angels do?
They had relations with women.
They left their domain, and they went outside the domain, and had relations with women, and they were chained up, and now we know that they're reserved in the darkest places, the pits of hell, okay? And it's not a place that you want to be. How do we know that? Who told us that they don't want to go there?
The demons themselves.
What story?
The rich man.
Yes. Lazarus?
No.
It's the guy that went to Abraham's bosom and the other guy, Lazarus. Yeah, the rich man and Lazarus. So
no.
The rich man.
But
the rich man.
No. But why
say
it.
You got it.
The demons said, you are the Son of God.
Which would you, what did you say? The pigs?
The pigs.
That's the story, the pigs.
Yeah.
Remember that? And they said, you're not going to send us to the abyss, right? And they don't want to go there. Why would they not want to go there?
Because you come to torment before.
It's judgment, and it's pretty severe, we'll understand. There's another group of people that he ties into, again, the fallen angels in this pit. Who are they? This is one that really bothers me, it really angers me. Not at God, but at these people.
False teachers.
Yes, the false teachers and false prophets.
False prophets.
Because what are they doing? They're saying, the gate is not narrow, it is wide. It's not hard, it's easy. And so they widen out, and they're the ones ushering all those people in, and the context of the judgment of these angels includes these false teachers, false prophets. So we assume then that, putting two together, that the hottest places of hell are reserved for those people. There's nothing mentioned, although I don't want to go to hell at all, and from what we see from what you guys have mentioned, neighbor's bosom, hell is just a place of complete agony. I mean, we get suffering. Just looking at David and Erica, and it is just a fraction of suffering they go through, what's the hope that they have? That David and Erica, right now, what's the hope that they have? No. This suffering will last, what, a day or two? Then what? You're back to normal. That won't be, there is none of that. The agony, the thirsting, all of that, none of that. So that's hell. And so you have that. And so there's also, why is this happening? Well, there's what we've all said, is that there's just evil in this world. And that is just a stated, observable fact. And God says there's a spiritual principle. You reap what you sow.
That's scary.
Okay? And there's also the difficult things where you didn't do anything and your child was murdered. Or you're shoveling snow and this man hits you as you're shoveling snow in Seattle. See that this morning? And the guy ran off. The car hit and run, and they're searching for the guy. But that guy was that businessman or whatever he was just shoveling snow, and it just, if he's married, the wife has to live with that, the children have to live with that. They didn't do anything to deserve that. I mean, in the sense of a direct correlation, yeah, there's sinful people who deserve all sorts of judgment. But that's just the reality of life. God created us as beings that can make choices. And there are consequences for those choices. So what else did you learn? So we're from this side of the table. This side of the room. I can't hear you. What?
A rationally formulated argument. How to more rationally formulate your argument?
Okay.
Perhaps some of this concept before, but
right. Let me just say, as encouragement to everybody on this side of the room, specifically, but also everybody in this room, is that this is stuff that we've been going over and over and over. And if there's a good chance that maybe you're not getting it, right? And I understand this is not the easiest stuff. Well, how can I help you get it? How can I be so you understand some of this stuff? Let me tell you one thing you can do. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many people on this side of the room, since you're not talking, did what Debbie did this week? How many believe that you have hope? This side of the room. How many people know that you are wealthy? Believe you're wealthy. How many people believe that you have power? Can you give me an example of a deep experiential knowledge you have that you are have hope, that you have are rich, and you have power? Side of the room. Heal somebody that's sick. Okay? Cast out a demon. Why am I bringing this up? And I would say it to everybody is that Paul said that he prayed for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he prayed that you would know three things. And that word know is not an intellectual knowledge, it is an experiential knowledge. Think of it as this class is an academic setting versus on the job training. On the job training is experiential. When I started learning to ride a motorcycle, I took the test, the class, I understood it. I learned exponentially when I started riding. Over hours and hours and hours, putting roughly 800 miles in a motorcycle, I learned. Does that make sense to people? Right? That's knowing. You got it? I know I can look at a recipe and make cinnamon rolls. She can do it a billion times better with me because she knows it, because she's done it hundreds of times. She really deep down knows it. Okay? That makes sense? So you are to know experientially that you have a hope. However that plays itself out for your life. You are to know that you are have been given a portion of the inheritance of Jesus Christ that he earned for you, and you are wealthy. And I don't mean wealthy. I mean beyond like Bill Gates wealthy. Okay, that's how wealthy you are. That puts it into context. And you're to know the power of God. What kind of power is it? The same power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So you're to know this stuff. I'm not even asking you to do that. I'm asking these jokes that I'm giving you over and over and over and over. How do you internalize this so you should know? You should be able to spit off answers by now. And if you know me well enough, I'm going to do stuff like this. Know it. Know it and know it. Or you actually just don't want to share your faith. You don't want to, you're not interested in defending your faith or in discussions with people and seeing God use you. Yes, Matt.
I have a question about the healing. This is something that's been on my mind that I believe in it, but what's the difference between, because I have a friend who's a charismatic, really charismatic, mm-hmm. and all this, and says it's healing all the time and all that. It's very out there on it. Kind of makes me question, like, what's the difference between the real healing versus charismatic movement healing? Is there a difference, or should I just...
There's healing through just medicine, okay?
Yeah.
And there are divine healings.
I'm talking about divine healing.
Yeah, there's no difference. And either you're healed or you're not.
Okay.
Either there's a simple laying on of hands, I pray for people, and... in a faithless prayer, 5 minutes, it's absolutely dead. We will obey the command of God, lay hands on him, pray for him. That night, nothing happened right then and there that night. Next morning, he was up walking around without a crutch, and the bone was healed. That's a sign, that was actual evidence that actually happened.
Okay.
This is not, we're praying for you, I think God's healed you, and they're not healed at all. It's good, you'll know by the result. Okay.
Okay.
And sometimes there are partial healings as well. I do know that.
Don't you think sometimes that we'll be used and not know that we've been used?
Sure.
And we may never know until we get to heaven.
Yep.
That what we did, and there's faith that comes with that in exercising that prayer for somebody.
Right. Right.
And I think sometimes God hides that from our eyes for a certain reason, maybe so we don't get proud or so that we...
And sometimes he does it for encouragement.
So he gets the glory.
Right.
And not us.
I had the lady come up, I guess, 6 months ago. Angie and Jason were in town. Angie was. She brought a friend over from Enid Ball and they visited me in the office and they were supposed to just want to introduce me so the lady could come to church. Well, of course, that's unfortunately happens an awful lot in Washington State. You get these visits or you get these people that say they're going to come and there's very little follow through. So this lady showed up last week and I looked familiar, and then when I was back there after the sermon, after the service, shaking hands, she came up and I recognized them, which was like shocking because you know how bad I know the names, right? And so I recognized them, and then she made the comment, and people do this a lot because I think you're feeling guilty. And so I watch you on YouTube, and then of course I always come back, oh, you're the one. She laughed at that. But my point being is that, you know, here's some lady that I briefly met 6-8 months ago, maybe a year ago for all I know. And yet God is using the videos, and she says she's following. I think that's great. And I don't think that it's necessarily the best thing. I think you should be coming to church for fellowship. But as an example of, I had no idea that this lady was doing that, but God is working and doing those things. So, yes?
In the sermon, you frequently mentioned that we should be coming to church. So they are getting that message from you.
Yeah.
And so when they're finally picking it up,
listen, if I have a hard enough time getting my German shepherds to obey me, then my children, you think the people that come here are going to listen to obey?
You should give treats.
Yeah, you want treats?
Bad dog.
Yeah, you know. Right, let's go through then the basic outline. If I were to give you a test, lay down the basic outline of the argument that we've been going over ad nauseum for 3 months, could you write it out? If you could write it out, raise your hand. It's an outline form. Okay? Alright, then what's the basic argument then? What's it called? Let's just start with the name of it. What's it called?
Well,
we're talking about the anthropological.
That's it. And Carol cannot answer all the questions. What's the argument, Chase, that I've been going over with you guys over and over and over again? You can look to Carol if you don't know the answer. Let me give you a hint. Why don't you get a piece of paper and write it down? Okay? Because you're hearing it and writing it down, and maybe I'll have you read it. Maybe I'll make up a song, because you tend to remember stuff in songs, right?
Yes.
It's the anthropological argument for the existence of God. Anthropology means what? Man. Okay? It's an argument based upon what characteristic of man proves the existence of God. Anybody?
You're rational.
No, that's part of it. What is it? What part of man, and where are we going to be arguing from, to argue for the existence of God?
It's
personhood. It's personhood. And what makes up personhood? There are three. Mind, heart, and soul. Those three aspects of personhood. And it begins with, however, that we believe that human beings are personal. And everybody will agree with that. And what makes up a personhood? Mind, heart, and soul. Now, what desires come out of the mind?
Rationality.
Consciousness. Are you self-aware? Okay. What desires come out of the heart? Love. Moral responsibility. And what else? This is a big one. We already talked about this morning. Freedom. You're not a robot. You're free to choose or not to choose. Okay? And of the soul, what desires, Chase, come out of those? From the soul? Or Nancy? Or Frank? Or Roger.
What's out of the soul?
What desires come out of the soul, what we've been talking about? What does the soul long for? Meaning. Purpose.
Significance.
Write those down, okay? You cannot argue this unless you have these. This is a basic outline of it, okay? And the basic argument is this. The next thing I would tell you to do is to think of that blank canvas, that picture I showed you. In fact, it may even be up here. Well, let me go back. That blank canvas represents what?
Anything that ever was.
The universe. Everything that has ever existed, will exist, is in that blank canvas. That's a picture of, we call it the cosmos and the universe. Okay? And how did it get there? Evolution. Evolution. It got there, and it's evolution is the background of everything for the atheist. So everything that has ever existed and will exist is only within that little white box. That table below doesn't exist. Those little stand pieces of wood it's holding up doesn't exist. It's just this canvas, okay, blank canvas. And that means who came from that canvas if you're an atheist? You did. Where did your personhood come from? That canvas. Where did the desires of your personhood from your mind, and they are what? Were the two things I talked about. The desires of the mind.
Self-awareness.
Consciousness, self-awareness, and rationality. Those are the desires that come out of the personhood. And they, where did they come from?
That canvas.
that canvas, the heart, Chase, were the desires that would come out of the heart for Nancy.
What do you think of with hearts? What's a heartbeat?
You gotta write stuff down.
Give a red heart
guys.
To somebody on Valentine's Day. Why? Because you love them. It's love. Yeah. That one is the one I can remember.
Yeah.
Relationship.
Love. Heart wants to be free to choose. And it's morally responsible. You get cut off at the intersection, what do? You get angry. You're wrong. Okay? You have to write these down and memorize this. I don't know how any other way to say it, okay? And then desires of the soul, purpose, meaning, significance, all that. Where do they come from if you're an atheist? That white canvas, that's it. That means then that those desires have to be answered. Those longings have to be met. They desire longing to be met. And they can only be met within that canvas, within what evolution provides. See that? And I told you that, what do you mean by that? Well, we long, we hunger, and what does evolution provide for us?
Food.
We thirst, what does evolution provide for us?
Water.
We long for meaning and significance. Evolution should be able to provide meaning and significance. This is where the argument breaks down for the atheist then. If all that you do, good or bad, means absolutely nothing, because in the end you will cease to exist, what meaning is there in life? What purpose is there in life?
There is none.
There is none.
What's the point?
The point is that evolution cannot meet the needs of your soul, the desires of your soul, for meaning or significance. So therefore, your existence while you're on this planet is going to be what? Fun?
No.
Frustrating? No. Depressing? For sure. You're longing for something that never existed. And so you have a relative or a someone that dies unexpectedly from an evil act. And you want to understand why. But you can't get an answer of why. How is your life going to be?
Miserable.
Miserable, right? And if everything came about through an indifferent process of random chemicals colliding over billions and billions of years, then the ideals of this world, such as love, are reduced to what? A chemical reaction. So can an atheist really ever love? Love is reduced to a chemical reaction. The greatest thoughts, E equals MC squared, is nothing but a complicated, complex burp. Okay? It's just more complex than an average, chemical reaction. A little more deep. But that's all it is. Or, what's the alternative to that?
There is an intelligent designer who created us.
Right.
After his own image, to desire, to have love.
And if you stick with love, if that's true, if the ultimate background from which we exist, that this canvas is God who created all things, and he's a God of love, and it makes sense, well, I would love, in the future, what will I be doing? And this is an answer every Christian should know. There's one thing that you'll be doing, for sure, in the future. Forever. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is
love.
Why is love the greatest?
Because the other two passed away.
They passed away. There's a need for faith when we are seeing God face to face. Their need for hope. No, they've been met. Will we always be loving God?
Yes.
Therefore, love in this world has a purpose. We're learning to love and we're practicing what we'll be doing for eternity.
Loving God.
What?
Loving.
Well, I'm loving others. There'll be other people there too. We'll be loving. Okay? And if I believe that after I die, that there's either a heaven or a hell, then all of a sudden my life has some significance. There's an actual consequence. And if I believe it's going to be heaven, then I have purpose. I have a motivation to live a certain kind of life, so I will be rewarded on this side of heaven, right? You want justice in this world. You take out a moral standard. And it's just simply the natural selection, survival of the fittest. There is absolutely nothing wrong that happened to those four Idaho students. But is that how the world operates? The world is appalled by that. And you are inconsistent if you're appalled by that and claim to be an atheist. Does that make sense? So everybody write down this basic argument. Okay, have it right here, right? You write that down. That's the characteristics, and you have to write down. You've been given this. It's been printed out for you. That's the basic argument. Personal beings, out of the personhood comes a mind, heart, soul, and desires are what's consciousness, rationality, free, loving, worthwhile. Those are the desires that come out of that. And either those desires, evolution can meet those desires or it cannot. If it cannot meet those desires, then human existence is very much like a fish out of water. You should probably write that down. Humans are a fish out of water, longing for water, and it never existed. And that makes human life awful. The human existence, you're nothing but a tortured freak of nature. So next week, I'm not going to talk. I'm going to have you come up here. You're going to memorize this. I'm going to do one by one, and let's see how you do, and see if you can get this basic thing down, okay? That's what we're going to do. If this isn't pass fail, okay? I may make fun of you, but I make fun of you anytime, anywhere, right? All the time, right? This is my attempt to help you get this basic argument, because there's other arguments I want to get to, but if you're, in other words, you just can't sit here and stare there and listen to me and do this all Sunday morning. That ain't working anymore. All right? Any questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
When we were at work, because that's the only other place I go in my life is work, apparently.
Yeah.
We got into talking about that Kanye West and all his craziness.
And how
he's supposed to be Christian and he's praising Hitler and all this stuff. And they're asking me, what do you think about that? And I told them, personally, I think that he's possessed with demons. I do, because that man is just crazy. I don't even know what to say.
Well, how about this? How would you answer that question? I don't think I would say the word demons, but that's okay. It's an answer. How would you answer that question?
What's the question?
Kanye West.
Praising Hitler for all he did. He's supposed to be a Christian. He has his own church. He has a school that's based in on Christianity. And yeah, he's praising Hitler. So, yeah.
What I would ask is where who's saying he's praising Hitler?
Well, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all over the news. This isn't being disputed.
Yeah, it's a video on it.
Well,
yeah.
He got kicked off.
We've heard him in person.
Yeah.
So yeah, he got kicked off Twitter again for putting a swastika.
A free Twitter. Elon Musk kicked off Twitter,
yeah.
So it gets hard to do.
And my thought, I was thinking about that this morning for some reason on the way to church, and I thought, you know, if he's praising Hitler and what Hitler did was kill all these Jews, do you forget that your Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? That was just the thought that came to me.
So I'll have to answer the question, though. What do you think of Kanye West? Do you think he's a Christian or not? What's the question?
I don't think he is.
Okay, but how would you answer that?
By their fruits, you shall know them.
That's why I would answer it.
By their fruits, you shall know them.
You're not going to understand. The Bible says that, you will know them by their fruits. What that means is they have a tree in it. If it's an apple tree, it produces apples. If it's a grape, it produces grapes. Or if it's a fig tree, figs. If it's an apple tree and it's producing figs, then you're going to know that that's not what it claims to be.
It's
not an apple tree.
Basically, there's two kinds of Christians. There's the kind that say they're Christians but don't live by it, don't actually believe in it, and then there's the kind of...
But I wouldn't even say that because it's confusing. As if there's two types. You can be this and that. No.
Yeah.
There are people that claim to be Christian and their lifestyle does not show it. And the Bible says that is just in this world. That's the wheat and the tares parable. Okay? We're the wheat, we're not the tares. Then there's those that actually live it out. They would never say something like that. Okay? And if they felt that and you had those thoughts within them, they would be confessing it to God as sin and asking God to change their attitude.
I think wealth is very influenced in that man's life. I don't want to say, I don't know him personally. We don't know what he looks like outside of
right.
Paparazzi world, but honestly, his when you come into that kind of wealth, you get people surrounding you, and he's the type of guy that if you watch his career, which I'm not really a watcher, but I notice that he's a conformer to who he is. That way, so when he was hanging out with his mama, really pretty down there. When he was hanging out with the Kardashians, they were. Part of the Kardashian family is a pretty noble Christianity family. Look at their dad, he was a Christian and a lawyer and all that. And their mom, she's a little out there, but they created a...
Right.
But I think it's who he surrounds himself with. I think as a Christian, we all say things out of foolishness, trying to sound more wise or trying to be a new thing. And I don't think he understands what he's saying. And I think we should pray for him.
Sure.
And because if he hasn't pitched a church, you know, Joel's in a church, but he's not
right.
Really up. And I think we should pray for the people that participate and pray for the blinding of wealth. Because that's what lures a lot of people is that.
Sure.
That lifestyle. If you look at their lifestyle,
well,
they seem
true.
So
they
perfect.
Sell their bodies on TV.
They seem so happy.
We got to go. I'm out of time here. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Teach us, and may we put out the effort, quite frankly, to know this stuff and be prepared to again, share the hope that we have with lost and dying in the world. Lord, I think of it this way, that if we have the tools and the resources and we know them, you are more likely to bring people to us so we can give an answer, as opposed to the person that is your child that simply doesn't know how to answer these type of questions. So I pray that we would prove ourselves to be faithful and capable of you entrusting us with more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.